This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah ala hilmihi ba'da ilmihi wa ala afwihi ba'da qudratihi. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما كان الله ليعذبهم وأنت فيهم وما كان الله معذبهم وهم يستغفرون. وقال تعالى: وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداع إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama, elders, brothers and mothers and sisters who might be listening on the various platforms, we begin by praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We further thank Allah ta'ala that Allah has given us the opportunity of gathering in the house of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the sole purpose and intention of remembering Allah and turning towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected brothers, we further thank Allah that Allah has given us the opportunity of gathering here on the Mubarak and blessed night of Laylatul Nisf min Sha'ban, commonly in our country known as Shab-e Barat, and I will go on to explain what it means. The first thing I would like to make mention is that we need to be very confident with regard to the fact that today is a Mubarak and blessed night, and we need to welcome it and appreciate it as such. Islam is a religion which does not encourage people to make any amal half-heartedly. It demands of you that whatever you do it with full confidence. And there are many examples with regard to it. In Islam, if you are confident that you have made wuzu, everyone knows, I know I have made wuzu. That is my confidence, I have made wuzu. But then afterwards you get a doubt that did my wuzu break or not? Did my wuzu break or not? Ask any mufti, ask any alim. A doubt will not cancel a deed that is done with confidence. A mere doubt that maybe my wuzu broke does not wipe away the fact that your wuzu is broken. You got confidence you made wuzu. That confidence will overrule the doubt. Because Islam wants you to do deed with confidence, not half-hearted. That is why Islam frowns upon and doesn't want that, you know, you just make salat, repeat your salat unnecessarily. Unless there is a special reason why you are doing your salat again. Just on a mere doubt, you don't go and read namaz again. Brothers, we have been, as a community, have been regarding this particular night as auspicious for as long as we can remember. And now if there are certain writings that come, why is it that all of a sudden there is doubt? What about the confidence that you have been doing things for all along? So on what basis have you been doing things for so long that now all of a sudden someone writes to you something and then you got a doubt? There is so many, Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani, one of the great muhaddith who has written a commentary on so many books of ahadith, says that the virtue of this night has been reported by 10 sahaba. Not one sahabi, 10 sahaba have narrated the virtue of this night. Now, if someone comes and tell you a sahabi, 10 sahaba have spoken about the virtue of the night, why are you doubting? You go and do ibadat on this night with confidence. not half-heartedly. The problem is sometimes you and I, we have a situation, we are weak. And especially in today's time, we are further weak. So we sometimes latch onto excuses not to do something. To do something, to do ibadah, to work on deen, and to practice upon deen requires commitment and sacrifice. And sometimes you just need an excuse so that you don't get that commitment and that sacrifice. And today we get this. Oh, this one says it's not important. But what about, are you a muhaddith to be able to go through it? Even the group that says that it is not authentic, the person who is regarded to be the most knowledgeable and the person who is supposed to be the one that the group refers to. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh had said that there are so many riwayats with regard to the virtue of this night that it is impossible to dismiss it, and therefore there is virtue in this night. And he said it was the practice of the Salaf al-Salihin to spend the night in ibadat and worshipping Allah, and we are going to follow them. So do things with pure confidence, not with half-heartedness. The second thing is for us to understand, Allah Ta'ala loves this ummah tremendously. Allah loves this ummah tremendously. Allah has given this particular ummah great amount of virtue and great amount of fazilat and superiority. Kuntum khayra ummatin. You are the best of ummats. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And what is a feather in your cap? That you command people to do good and you prevent them from evil. This is an ummat that Allah loves. When Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this verse, he said, Antum tatimmuna sab'ina ummah. Anta akramuha. That you are the compilation and the completion of many ummats of the past. You are the most honorable and the most virtuous. And Allah Ta'ala gives great amount. One hadith Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that this ummat is like rain. Rain, you don't know which portion of the rain is beneficial, the beginning or the end. This ummat is also like this. You know, this ummat is also like this. That you don't know whether the beginning, there is some benefit in the beginning and there is some benefit in the end. One of the aspects with regard to the ummat, that Allah Ta'ala, there is little bit of deeds, the virtue and the rewards are great. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day according to riwayat, said, Ya Allah, zid ummati, give great amount of rewards to my ummat and give them the reward for their deeds. So Allah Ta'ala reminded Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man dhal ladhi yuqridu Allah qardan hasana, who is there who will give Allah a loan? Allah Ta'ala refers to our weak amal, our weak deeds. Allah Ta'ala refers to it as a loan to Allah Ta'ala. Who is there who will give a loan to Allah? Allah Ta'ala will repay it. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Rabbi zid ummati, oh Allah, give my ummat even more. So Allah Ta'ala reminded Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha, wa man ja'a bil sayyati fala yudza illa mithlaha. Whoever does a sin in this ummat, only one sin will be written. Whoever does one righteous deeds, the minimum Allah will multiply it is by 10 times. Minimum. My ustad, Qari Miftahullah sahab, when he was teaching us tafsir and he came to this ayat, he said something. And I want you to take consolation and confidence from this. He said, that which is multiplied by 10 will overcome that which is multiplied by 1. Today I want to give you confidence. You go away from here with confidence, with hope in Allah's mercy. You do one sin, you get one, only one sin is written. You do one good deed, minimum 10 times, 10 rewards. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Rabbi zid ummati, Allah give my ummat even more. Allah Ta'ala reminded Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. The gist of the ayat, whoever gives 1 cent in charity, Allah multiplies it 700 times. Allah multiplies it 700 times. Go and give charity. People give charity at this time of the year. You give 1 rand, Allah Ta'ala will multiply it 700 times. Wallahu yudha'ifu liman yasha. And if Allah Ta'ala wants, He will increase it even more than that. Nabi Karim Sallallahu said, Ya Rabbi Zil Ummati, O Allah, increase for my Ummat. Allah Ta'ala revealed, Innama yuwaffa as-sabiruna ajrahum bighayri hisab. O Muhammad, you worried about your Ummat, I also got love for this Ummat. I will reward those who persevere upon the commands of Allah, a reward bighayri hisab, cannot be counted. This is how Allah loves this Ummat. I will give you a reward that cannot be counted. It comes in one riwayat. We are coming into the month of Ramadan. That Allah Ta'ala, the angels who write down the books and the rewards of deeds, they go to Allah Ta'ala when a person is fasting. And they say, Wallah, how do we write down the rewards of fasting? When a person reads 2 rakats namaz, we can do 2 rakats namaz, we write 2 rakats namaz. He gave 10,000 rand in charity, we write 10,000 rand in charity. He made one umrah, he made 10 umrahs, we write. What do we write with regard to fasting? There is no deeds. He is staying away from things. How do we record? And how do we reward fasting? So Allah Ta'ala tell the angels, angels, don't record it. You can't record it. A sawmuli, fasting is for me, and I will reward it. I will reward it. Leave it. You can't reward it. I will give it myself. This is how Allah loves this ummah. Now, why am I making mention of this? Because this ummah's lifespan is shorter than the lifespan of the previous ummahs. So, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, the lifespan of my ummah is less compared to the lifespan of the others. So, Allah Ta'ala bless us with occasions like Laylatul Qadr and Laylatul Nisf in Sha'ban. Why does it do so? So that we can increase the reward of our good deeds. You do little bit of rewards and do good deeds on the night, certain nights, Allah Ta'ala give you the such great rewards. You spend Laylatul Qadr in Ibadat, you get more rewards. Allah Ta'ala says, Inna anzuma adrak Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alf shahr. It is more than 1,000 months. He didn't say equal. 83 years and 4 months is 1,000 months. He didn't say it's equal. He said it is more. Why? Because Allah loves us. Allah gives us this opportunity to increase our rewards and come closer towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Laylatul Barat, the word Shab is a Persian word. Shab means night. Laylatul Barat is the Arabic word, the Arabic equivalent. Barat means freedom. Freedom and emancipation. Why is it known as freedom and emancipation? Why do we call it freedom and emancipation? Bara'ah. Allah Ta'ala wants to free you. So it comes from the hadith. There are two very famous hadith. One is, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala saw Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making sijda. And this is in Musnad Ahmad. Such a long sijda. She felt that such a long sijda, something couldn't have, maybe Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life was, you know, taken away. Maybe he passed away while making sijda, and she felt the pulse. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam finished and said, O Humaira, O Aisha, why did you feel? Did you feel that, you know, and you are asking, did you have a doubt that I've gone to the other house? And he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees so many people from the fire of Jahannam on this night, the way there is fibers on the sheep of the tribe of Bani Kalb. Bani Kalb were a big tribe, they were known with regard to their sheep, and so many fibers that is on the sheep of Bani Kalb, Allah Ta'ala frees people from the fire of Jahannam. That is one. Freedom. What I'm explaining to you now, why it is known as Barat. Freedom. Freedom from Jahannam. Then there's another hadith that when the night of Sha'ban comes, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala announces from the time of Maghrib. Now many times people say, why do you regard Laylatul Barat is something that is, you know, virtuous, when this happens every night. The difference is every night it happens towards the time of Seri, towards the end of the night, early portion of the morning. In Laylatul Nisf in Sha'ban, it happens from the time of sunset. From the time of sunset, Allah Ta'ala announces, is there anyone who seeks risk? He wants his needs to be fulfilled that I can fulfill his needs. Is there anyone who seeks protection from the fire of Jahannam that I can grant him protection? Is there anyone who seeks forgiveness for his sins that I can forgive his sins? Now, three things have been made mention. And in this night, we seek freedom from three things, amongst many other things. So this hadith make mention freedom from three things. Freedom from want and need. What first thing is? Repeat after me. Freedom from want and need. Brothers, now why is this important? Why is this important? And the reason why it is important is, you and I, we have needs. And only Allah can fulfill those needs. We are dependent upon Allah for every breath that we take. We are dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every moment that we live. We are dependent upon Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every nourishment that we can get. You can eat how much you want, but if Allah ta'ala doesn't want that food to nourish you, that food will not be able to nourish you, unless if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants permission to that food to be able to nourish you. We are people we grew up with wants and needs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. Allah took you out of the wombs of your mother. لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. You knew nothing. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. And then he gave you the faculty of hearing and the faculty of seeing, the faculty of understanding. When we grew up, when we started off, we couldn't even fend for ourselves. Our parents fend for ourselves. Allahu alladhi khalaqakum min dhuf. Allah Ta'ala created you in weakness. Thumma ja'ala min ba'di dhuf in quwwa. After the weakness, Allah gave you the strength of people who are in their youth and in their middle age, they are strong. But don't get carried away by that particular strength. Thumma ja'ala min ba'di dhuf in quwwa. Thumma ja'ala min ba'di quwwatin dhufa wa shayba. And after that particular weakness, that strength, you are going to go into old age and feebleness and again weakness. That is our cycle of life. Weakness, strength, back again to weakness. We are all the time dependent. We are full of wants and needs. Brothers, there's an incident about a person. You know, he could not pass urine. Became old. Something happened. There was a blockage in his passage. And he went to the urologist. Urologist put in a catheter. And after they put in the catheter, you know, they send him the bill. To have to put in the catheter because there was a procedure that had to be done because the passage with regard to where the urine comes out was blocked. So they sent him the bill. When he saw the bill, he started crying. And nowadays, when you see the bill of the doctor, you all cry maybe. I'm not saying with respect to all the doctors who might be here, but so he said, Doctor, I'm not crying because I can't pay. I got medical aid, I got money. Allah, I'm not crying because of that. You know, Allah has given me. You know, there was a very famous Urdu poet, Akbar al-Abadi. Akbar al-Abadi was a poet who had satire in his poetry. He had a lot of satire in his poetry. Be parda kal jo aaye nazar chand bibiya, to Akbar zameen mein ghairat hai. تو اکبر زمین میں غیرت قومی سے گر گیا پوچھا جب انسا کہ آپ کے پردہ وہ کیا ہوا کہنے لگی کہ عقل پہ مردوں پہ پر گیا he said, I saw woman without niqab, without hijab. So I felt ashamed, Muslim woman without hijab. So I asked them, what happened to your hijab? What happened to your niqab? What happened to your pardah? He said, our pardah has fallen over the intellect of our men. Our men, they are not the ones who insist that the woman must be able or encourage the woman to be able to wear a parda. So this is the type of poetry that he was known for. So Akbar al-Abadi, with regard to the doctors, I'm just saying it, I was quoting, he said, Malikul Maut Jaan Chor Bhi De, Doctor Fees Ko Na Chore. Malikul Maut might leave you one day, but doctor won't forget his fees. But I'm just saying what he had said. But why I'm saying this is, that when he cried, he said, Doctor, I'm not crying because I can't afford it. I'm crying for one thing. I'm 70 years, because normally you put in a catheter, your urine passage comes blocked when you are old age. He said, I'm crying for 60 years. I went to the toilet, came out, went to the bathroom, came out. Not once Allah sent me a bill. One day I couldn't do it. You send me such a big bill. One day I couldn't urinate. You sent me such a big bill. 70 years I'm going to the toilet, not once Allah sent me a burp. What I'm trying to prove, that is how we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah ta'ala blocks the passage, we are in trouble. So when Allah tells you, on this night I'm asking you, is there anything you need, ask me. So Allah ta'ala wants to give us freedom from what? Freedom from want and need, and Allah ta'ala is asking us that take this freedom from want and need by asking me on this night. Allah in the Holy Quran, there is such a beautiful verse, and every verse is beautiful. اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولعب وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد. Allah ta'ala, you know, takes the life of a human being. And he said, what is the life of a human being? لعب ولعب, amusement and play. Then he says, لعب وزينة وتفاخر, adornments and taking pride and boasting. And the third thing is taking pride in your wealth and your children. Now if you look at human beings, look at our life. The first phase of our life, childhood and youth, we're all the time worried about amusement and play. So all the time, children are only worried about play. Nowadays they worry about TV games, gaming. This era is the only era where the elderly and the children are playing the same games. Right? But that is that particular type of age. When you become a little bit, you know, younger, now all our young people who are here, what happens to them? Zinatu wa tafakhur. Taking pride in their cars, taking pride in their sound systems, taking pride in what type of car I'm driving. I'm driving a Polo, and I'm driving this, and I'm driving that. Nowadays, you know, you get, what is the Chinese one, Amud or something like that. Looks very beautiful. So all of a sudden, what are you taking pride in? What is the next step in your life? You're taking pride in things, taking pride in your branded jackets or your branded wear, right? What the kathrun fair, when you become old, what happens to the old people? Ask the old people, they tell you. They will say, "Hamari to kitni property chahiye? India mein bhi property chahiye. India also we got property." And they take pride in their children and their grandchildren. That is the sum total of our life. We take amusement and play, zinatu wa takathurun bainakum, adornments and boasting about what you got, your worldly things, and then when you become old, you take pride in your children and your wealth. That is, so the first thing is freedom from want and need. Brothers, ask Allah Ta'ala. Especially with regard to the one aspect that I always tell people, with regard to health. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, you know, there are two things that people don't realize the value of. One is good health and one is free time. We only come to realize the value of your health when you fall sick. That's the only time. So Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullah Ali is a very famous poet. Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullah Ali says, he used to give beautiful examples. In these examples, he gives a lesson. So he said, one day a king was going out on an expedition. They had to go with a boat. As they were going in a boat, one person was crying a lot. And he was, you know, moaning and complaining and grumbling. I got seasickness and this is not worthwhile. What type of expedition is this? So some wise people went to the king and said, just leave us to him, we will cure him from complaining. He said, how will you complain? How will you cure him? He said, leave it to us. So one day they got hold of him, they threw him into the river, or they threw him into whatever they were, wherever they were traveling. And then somehow they threw something and he clinged unto it and he came back onto the boat. After that there was no complaining. So the king said, why? How did you come to this particular way of stopping him from complaining? He said he underestimated the safety the ship was providing in the midst of the depth of the water that they were sailing upon. Once he saw the danger and he came back to the ship, he then realized the safety the ship was providing. And then Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullah Ali said, in a similar manner, you and I, we underestimate the significance of our health until we become sick. This is the night where you ask Allah Ta'ala for freedom from want and your need. The second thing is, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, seek Allah Ta'ala, is there anyone who wants protection from the fire of Jahannam that I can protect him and I can grant him protection? Brothers, we all know with regard to Jahannam, and the fact of the matter, we don't like to hear about Jahannam. It's a reality. Adab of Allah Ta'ala is a reality. But we don't like to hear about it. وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُوا يُغَاثُوا بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْفِي الْوُجُوهُ بِئْسَ الشَّرَابُ. A person who is in Jahannam will ask Allah Ta'ala and ask the Malaika, give me water. The water that will be given to him will be so scalding and hot that his skin from his face will fall into the water. What type بِئْسَ الشَّرَابُ, what type of, you know, what type of help it will give to you to quench your thirst? How will it help to quench your thirst? Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith, if perchance, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it to give us this example, he said, if perchance a person lives in this world and he only saw difficulty, he never ever saw any ease, it doesn't happen. No matter how much difficulty you have, you will always have few moments of happiness. You know, there will be hope amongst you. I'm sure many people will say, at least the day of my wedding was happy. But people don't realize today, we don't make a distinction. Today, what we are all concentrating on is wedding. No one concentrates on the marriage. So everyone today is preparing for the wedding. No one prepares for the marriage. That's why there is so much divorces. We are more preparing for the wedding than for marriage. So anyway, if perchance if a person had only difficulty, on the day of Qiyamah, if Allah were to dip him in Jannah, take him out, oh my Banda, did you ever see any difficulty? That little moment in Jannah will be so beautiful. Even if he had a life only of difficulty, he will say, Wallah, I never ever saw difficulty. And if perchance he had a life full of ease, that also doesn't happen. With every ease, there is some sort of difficulty. But even if perchance you had only ease, if Allah on the day of Qiyamah were to dip you in Jahannam, may Allah Ta'ala protect us even from that also. Dip you in Jahannam, take you out. Oh my Banda, did you ever see ease? Even if he lived a life of 80 years of comfort and ease, after being dipped in Jahannam, he will say, Wallah, I never ever saw any ease. And that particular ease, you and I, we are concentrating ourselves so much on that particular ease that we forgot the ease of the hereafter. So seek Allah's protection that He can give you freedom from the fire of Jahannam. Then the third thing, freedom from sin. Now sin is no ordinary matter. Many times say that we got sin and everyone sins. Only the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are free from sin. So the burden of sin, Allah Ta'ala wants to grant you freedom from that. How does Allah grant you burden? Freedom from the burden of sin. Now sin is no ordinary matter. Sin makes you forget yourself. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. Do not be like those who forget Allah, and Allah will make them forget themselves. Sin makes you forget your own benefit and your own harm. And Allah on the day of Qiyamah said, فَالْيَوْمَ نَنْسَاهُمْ كَمَا نَسُوا لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا. Go, I have forgotten you the way you forgot remembering the day of Qiyamah and remembering that you are going to meet me. Sin makes you forget your own benefit. Sin deprives you of risk. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, a man is deprived of risk because of the sin that he commits. And then Allah Ta'ala says, sins grants you and makes you a straitened. Even if you got wealth, you will have a restrictive life. Today people have wealth, but they have a restricted life because of circumstances, because of safety. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ظَنْكَ. Whoever turns away from my remembrance, Allah Ta'ala says, I will make his life difficult. If you forget Allah, Allah will make your life difficult in this world and in the hereafter. We cannot think of forgetting Allah. Allah bi dhikrillah, because of remembering Allah, Allah will give you contentment. Your contentment is not going to come because you go to Seychelles for a holiday or you go to Dubai for a holiday. You are not going to become contented and tranquil and gain tranquility because you go to a beautiful resort or you got a beautiful, you know, home which got the latest decor and the contemporary decor. You are going to get tranquility, comfort and peace when you remember Allah. Says Allah in the Quran, Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. When you remember Allah, hearts will find contentment. How do you expect to find contentment when you disobey the creator of happiness and success and contentment? How can you get contentment when you go against the command of the creator of contentment? So sin does all of that. It makes your heart hard. Whenever a person commits sin, a darkness appears on his heart. And when he continues sinning, the entire heart becomes darkened. That he can't see truth. He can't be able to distinguish between right and wrong. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say, a believer regards sin as burdensome, as sitting under a mountain, fearful of when a rock above the mountain will come and destroy him. Like how you go to Chapman's Peak, and nowadays you hear sometimes Chapman's Peak is closed because of falling rocks. A believer regards sin as burdensome, that I'm sitting underneath a terrain and a mountain, and maybe a rock will come and completely destroy me. And a fasik, a transgressor, regards sin as lightly, like a fly sitting on his face, and he brushes the fly away. Now this is sin. How do we get rid of the burden of that sin? And certain sins are even more worrisome, because even in this night, Nabi Karim ﷺ has made mention of certain type of sins that Allah Ta'ala does not forgive if a person remains constant on it. And he does not ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness with regard to it. And what was that? One of them is disobedience of parents. One of them is breaking ties with your relatives. One of them is taking alcohol. One of them is, of course, associating partners to Almighty Allah. One of them, Nabi Karim ﷺ said in the most authentic of all of those ahadith we make mention of the sin, Mashahin. And Mashahin means the one who carries hatred in his heart. The one who carries hatred and malice in his heart. And I need to just bring two or three things with regard to this. Brothers, we are living in an age where it is made to seem from certain quarters that hatred is a virtue. Really, I need to make mention of this. Today, there are certain quarters who make it seem that hatred is a virtue. It's nothing. But how can it be a virtue when Nabi Karim ﷺ said, لا تباغضوا ولا تحاسدوا. Don't hate one another, don't be jealous of one another. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. And be brothers unto one another. How can it be a virtue? Nabi Karim ﷺ said, دَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ دَاءُ الْأُمَمِ قَبْلَكُمْ. The diseases of the people of the past will come unto you. Foremost among them, al-hasadu wal-baghdha, jealousy and hatred. Hiya al-haliqa, stay away from hatred, because it destroys and it shaves off. And because shaving has got to do with the hair, he says, I don't say it shaves off your hair, it shaves off your deen. So now all of these guna and sins that we got, how do we get? Ibn Arabi rahmatullah alayhi said, la yakunu al-qalbu saliman idha kanu haqudan hasudan. Allah Ta'ala says, only a qalb as-salim, a pure heart, will enter into Jannah. And a person who has hatred in his heart does not have qalb as-salim, does not have a purified heart. Now after all of that, how do we gain freedom from the burden of sin? We gain freedom from the burden of sin by asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. And Allah Ta'ala is waiting for us to ask forgiveness. Today someone sent me a clip. Someone sent me a quotation from someone. And when I read it, I was very, very disappointed. And the person was a clip from someone saying that Azab of Allah Ta'ala is imminent. Azab of Allah Ta'ala is imminent. And I said, what? Are you making people despondent about Allah's mercy? You're saying Allah Ta'ala as if you are waiting for Allah's Azab to come so that it could prove that you are right. What type of mindset is that? What type of mindset is that? Brothers, I will tell you something amazing. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says there are two protections from the azab of Allah. One we don't have, the one we have. Allah Ta'ala says, I will not punish you and punish this ummah, O Prophet of Allah, when you are in their midst. As long as Nabi Karim ﷺ was alive, that was a protection for the ummah from azab from Allah Ta'ala. 9 supara of the Holy Quran, Allah has made mention of it. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ. And Allah will not punish people وهم يستغفرون while they are seeking forgiveness for their sins. Brothers, go and ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness so that you can be amongst those that your forgiveness and your asking of istighfar becomes the means of preventing Allah's adab. In both Hizbul Azam and in Dalail al-Khairat, you get this beautiful dua. Allahumma la tahrimni wa ana as'aluk wa la tu'adhibni wa ana astaghfiruk. Oh Allah, do not deprive us while we are asking of you. Remember the first freedom, freedom from want. Oh Allah, do not deprive us while we are asking of you. How are you going to deprive us when we are regarding that you are the only one who can grant us? Don't deprive us while we are asking of you. And oh Allah, do not punish us wa ana astaghfiruk when we are making and seeking your forgiveness. Brothers, sin is a burden, but there is an antidote to sin. And the antidote is to ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Mufti Taqi Usmani in his Mawaiz wrote a very interesting incident. He said he went to the Kirstenbosch Gardens in Cape Town once. And while he was going, it was a guided tour. The guide, you know, as they were going, he told the people, don't touch that flower, it is poisonous. Don't touch that flower, it is poisonous. And then he told them, if perchance you had to touch that flower, I would have told you to rub your hand with another flower, because that is an antidote to the poison of this flower. He said, I immediately thought about this. Sin is a burden. The antidote also Allah has made mention. So here there was a flower that was poisonous. There was an antidote from another flower that could wipe away that poison. Sin is a poison. Sin is a burden. The antidote is to ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. And brothers, what can we say? When you ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, Allah Ta'ala is not like human being. Human being, if you ask him for forgiveness, he won't forgive you. Hazrat Mu'tamir Rahmatullah Alayhi said that is why hukukul ibad is sometimes more severe than hukukullah. Violating the rights of human being is sometimes more severe than the rights of violating Allah. Because human being is not so forgiving, and Allah has declared if you have done someone wrong, Allah won't forgive you until that person forgives you. And that is why people, they just send out all these social media, forgive me, and send a message. That is not enough forgiveness, right? Sending someone a social media message with regard to asking for forgiveness is not real forgiveness. If you have taken someone's 10,000 rand, sending him a social media message doesn't wipe away that 10,000 rand. You still got to go and pay him back. By you sending a message, it doesn't become forgiven. If you have usurped someone's property, by sending him a social media message, it's not good enough that I can still now go and eat his property. But anyway, that is a different matter. Human being is not so forgiving the way Allah Ta'ala is. You know how Allah Ta'ala is forgiving? قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ Doesn't mean you must take advantage of Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Many times people feel that we can take advantage of Allah's mercy. So sometimes people say that, no, I'm committing this guna, let me commit it, Allah is very merciful. You ever heard this? No, Allah is merciful, man, let us do it. Let's go on, carry on, let's doing it. The example of committing guna and sin thinking Allah is merciful, I'll give you a beautiful example. The example is a doctor, your friend, gave you certain essential medicines and told you, see, take this ointment. In case someone burns one day in the house, just use this ointment, it's very good for burns. And he gives it to you, you put it away in the medicine chest. And now the next bride comes, and now in front of the entire family, you take your hand and you open up the bride's tent and you say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, you want to put your hand into the bride fire. The person said, what are you doing? The family people say, what are you doing? Are you going something nuts? What are you doing? No, I got a very good ointment for burns. I would have got a very good ointment for burns. What will you tell him? That ointment is per chance. Not that you go and deliberately burn yourself to go and use the ointment. Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim in that way. Not that I must commit guna, that Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. If per chance you do guna, then you ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Now when you ask Allah for forgiveness, Allah is waiting. Brothers, remember, Allah Ta'ala's mercy supersedes His anger. Always remember this. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ كِتَابًا فَهُوَ عِنْدِهِ فَوْقَ عَرْشِ Allah has written a proclamation which is recorded on top of His arsh. إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ Inna rahmati sabakat wa fi riwayatin ghalabat ghadabi. My rahmat, my mercy supersedes my anger. My rahmat and my mercy supersedes my anger and my punishment. Allah doesn't want to punish us. Allah is looking for ways to save, to protect us from punishment, to save us from punishment. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi was a saint, the patron saint of Baghdad, and he gave so many different types of bayans of Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and mercy. For 40 years, he told Allah is so merciful, only speaking about Allah's mercy, encouraging people towards Allah Ta'ala. Then he said people are becoming complacent, they are not making ibadat properly. So for 3 nights, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani in Masjid in Baghdad started speaking about the adab and the punishment of Allah for 3 nights. He made people cry. People became unconscious. They had to take the bodies of people away from the masjid when he spoke about the adab of Allah. Ulama today tend to, you know, not to speak about it because of the reason I'm going to make mention. People will become despondent. But it's a reality. Sometimes we have to make mention of it. And sometimes we have to keep iman on that, because it is a reality. Allah's adab is also a reality. Allah's mercy is a reality. Allah's adab is also a reality. So after 3 nights, when people's bodies were taken from the masjid, he saw Allah Ta'ala in a vision. Abdul Qadir, is my mercy complete and finished in 40 years that you have to frighten my bondsmen to such an extent that they started fainting and get out of the masjid? Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani made Toba. 3 nights he made mention of Allah's adab. Allah Ta'ala rebuked him. Oh Sheikh Abdul Qadir, is my mercy finished? 40 years you think my mercy is finished? My mercy is limitless, can never be counted. Allah Ta'ala is waiting for us to see. Why Allah Ta'ala wants to free us from the burden of sin on tonight? This is an opportunity. Are we going to miss this opportunity? Tafsir al-Kabir makes mention of an incident. And there are so many incidents to make mention of, brothers. But this is, so he makes mention, he said, one of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and it is said most likely it was Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was one day going, and of course Allah Ta'ala showed Isa alayhi salam, Allah makes mention of it in the Quran, Allah used to reveal many things to him. So Allah Ta'ala revealed that he was going past a particular grave. And when he was going through a particular grave, Allah Ta'ala revealed to him that the inmate of the qabr was being punished. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam continued on his way back. He passed by the same qabr and he saw, and Allah Ta'ala revealed to him that the inmate of the qabr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forgiven him, and Allah Ta'ala had granted him virtue, and Allah Ta'ala has forgiven all his sins. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam made dua to Almighty Allah, oh Allah, tell me what the reality. The person was being punished, and now all of a sudden I come back, you have shown me that you have forgiven him. He said, oh Isa, let me tell you, he passed away when his wife was pregnant. After he passed away, she was pregnant, she gave birth, the child became of an age where the child went to the religious leader, the imam, or the religious scholar of that particular time, and the religious scholar made him read and invoke my name and invoke my blessings and invoke my mercy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And oh Isa, I felt ashamed of punishing a person while his small child is invoking my forgiveness and my mercy. I forgave him. On one thing, that his child said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, I forgave him. This is the mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim. O you who have done wrong unto your soul, don't ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Sometimes I think, who is Allah Ta'ala addressing? Allah is not addressing the Anbiya. Allah is not addressing the pious people. Allah is addressing sinners like you and I. And Allah Ta'ala, when addressing us, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ibadi, O my bondsman, O my servant, you have done wrong unto yourself by disobeying me. You have not done wrong to me. your guna and sin doesn't make one iota of difference to my greatness. Your rebelliousness is not going to make what difference to my greatness. I will remain great whether you become a tahajjud guzar or you make sijda from now till the day of Qiyamah. I will remain great. Your one sijda is not going to make me more greater. And your guna is not going to diminish my greatness. So Allah Ta'ala says, Ya Ibadi, O my bondsman. Allah is addressing sinners. Allah is not addressing anbiya. Allah is not addressing, you know, saints. O my bondsman, who have done wrong at all yourself by making guna. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Now one question that sometimes come, many a times people say that, okay, it's true, Allah Ta'ala will be forgiving, but what happens? We continue making guna. We continue making guna. So, ulama have made mention, Allah Ta'ala will never get tired of forgiving you as long as you don't get tired of asking Allah for forgiveness. Allah will never get tired of forgiving you as long as you don't get tired of asking Allah for forgiveness. You know, we don't go and deliberately commit guna after guna. But at that time when you're committing guna and you're asking Allah for forgiveness, that time, Ya Allah, we're not going to commit guna again. Make that particular, that time you just make that particular dua. And even if you have a difficulty, you make mention of that difficulty. But in that time you ask Allah, you're sincere. If you commit a guna, you go and ask Allah Ta'ala again for forgiveness. You go and ask Allah Ta'ala again for forgiveness. We wear clothes. The clothes are clean. Afterwards it gets dirty. What do we do? Do we throw the clothes away? What do? We put the clothes again in the washing. It comes back again clean. You're going in the car and you're using the wiper. The rain falls down. The wiper wipes away the rain. Afterward, more rain comes. The wiper wipes it again. He doesn't say, no, how long was I wiping it? It continues wiping it. Your clothes get dirty, you could put it in the washing, it comes clean again. That is the situation with regard to guna. You make guna, you ask Allah for forgiveness. You make guna, you ask Allah for forgiveness. As long as you are asking Allah, may Allah make us such that we are keeping to ask Allah for forgiveness till the day we die. وَلَا تُعَذِّبْنِي وَأَنَا أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَاللَّهُ don't punish us while we are asking for your forgiveness. Inshallah, as long as we are asking for forgiveness, Allah won't give us for punishment. Jalaluddin Rumi is also an amazing person. We only know Rumi. Today it's so sad that people have misused Rumi. You know, Rumi's beautiful poetry with regard to the love of Allah, people use it to declare their love for Aliyadu Billah, their illicit love for between male and female. Rumi was Rumi by him. Rumi had an amazing relationship with Allah. Baza, baza, harache, asti, baza. Dar kafe ho ka prabhu pasti. Turn towards Almighty Allah. Turn towards Almighty Allah. Baza, baza, harache, asti, baza. Dar kafe ho, gabro, but parasti, baza. You did wrong, turn again to Allah Ta'ala. You made guna, turn again to Almighty Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Sadbar agar toba shikisti baz. If you broke your toba 100 times, turn again to Allah Ta'ala. What a beautiful poet, you know, Persian poet. Baza, baza, harachi, asbi, baza. Dar kafiro, gabro, but parasti, baza. E dar gaye ma, dar gaye naam, naamu mi dinas. Sadbar agar toba shikisti baza. I know a little bit of Persian. This is not the refuge of despondency. This is the refuge and the house of hope. Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and mercy is a refuge of hope, not despondence. Where are we becoming despondent? How can we be disobedient to such an Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, to such a creator? So the third thing, barat means freedom. Freedom from three things, which I made mention amongst many other things. Freedom from one, freedom from needs, one. Freedom from the punishment, from the fire of Jahannam and Allah's punishment. And freedom from the burden of sin. Freedom from the burden of sin is with regard to asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. And that in that, we're sincere in our repentance. At-tawbah to an-nadam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the essence of tawbah is to have regret. If you, in your asking Allah for forgiveness, you can convey the feeling of regret. Oh Allah, I'm sorry I've done something like this. Oh Allah, I regret doing this wrong. Wallahi lazim, your tawbah is accepted. Wallahi lazim, your tawbah is accepted. Now go and continue. Start again your own deeds. There's also one very quick thing I will make mention of. It's also the time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our du'as. Ask Allah ta'ala, my beloved respected brothers. This night and every night. Ask, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahaba came to our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And, you know, they said, Ya Rasulullah, is Allah ta'ala far that we must scream? Is Allah ta'ala near that we can, you know, whisper? Allah ta'ala revealed the ayat, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When they ask you about me, tell them I am very close to them. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I will accept their dua when they make dua to me. I will accept it. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us how to make dua. Read the duas in Hizbul Azams. Read the translation. You will be amazed how Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Allah ta'ala for things. With such wisdom, with such words, with such eloquence. Allahumma maghfiratuka awsa'u min dhunubi. The word awsa'u, I just my way of using it. Your maghfirat, Ya Allah, is far more vast than my guna. Can anyone bring about asking Allah for forgiveness with better words? So Allahumma maghfiratuka, wallah your maghfira. And I, when I use the word awsa'u, I just pull it. Awsa'u min dhunubi is far more vast than my guna. Can anyone ask Allah with better words? Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, Allahumma ij'al fi ayni saghira wa fi ayni nasi kabira. Oh Allah, make me insignificant in my eyes. Make me respectful in the eyes of others. Make me insignificant that I don't become proud. And make me respectful in the eyes of other people, because there's a certain degree of respect everyone runs. Learn how to make dua to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With dua, you cannot fail. Without it, you cannot succeed. And remember, ask Allah ta'ala for everything. Ask Allah ta'ala for something that is small. Ask Allah ta'ala for big. Nothing is small for us. Nothing is big for Allah ta'ala. Nothing is small for us. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even if your shoe laces break down, ask Allah ta'ala. If Allah ta'ala takes away the faculty of your hands, you won't be able to go down to even correct your shoelaces. You won't be able to even wear your shoes. Nothing is small for us. We need Allah for everything. Nothing is big for Allah ta'ala. If Allah wants to give, He can give. I can go on to make mention. Dua is one, inshallah, one day we will come and we'll only speak about dua. I've got 15 points on duas. The last one I will make mention, I will conclude. Allah ta'ala says, Ujibu da'wat ad-da. Allah ta'ala accept duas. So now we see many times you make dua, it doesn't get accepted. So ulama have written this, I heard from Mufti Mahmud Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, Allah accept duas in five ways. Allah accept duas in five ways. Sometimes Allah ta'ala gives you what you want immediately. It happens. I so many people made dua, all of a sudden Allah ta'ala came something, it happens. There are many people who had experiences like this. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala went to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, my mother is abusing you, she's not a Muslim, and I can't bear her abuse and the taunting of you, I can't bear it anymore. Make dua, Allah grants hidayah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted his head, Ya Allah grant hidayah to the mother of Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira said, the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, I was wondering now, you know, this is going to happen. So I ran home, whether Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua reaches first or do I reach first? I knocked at the door and my mother said, oh my son, wait, I'm in the bathroom. The way her voice was, with such kindness which was not there previously, I came to the conclusion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua reached before me. Made dua for the hidayat, she became a Muslim immediately. Sometimes Allah ta'ala gives you after a while. And sometimes it happens, you know, that sometimes Allah ta'ala gives you after a while because you are not ready for it. If you're not ready for it, your son comes and asks you, and he says that, you know, Abba, we're going every day to the university, or we're going to school, we're going to Darul Uloom, we're going for work, and we need a car. I mean, even if it's a small Kia Picanto, whatever it is, give us one small car. And you say, listen, you're still 17 years of age. When you come 18 years and you get your license, you are ready to drive, legal age limit, I will buy you a car. Right? So he made a request. He said, I will give it to you, but you give it to him when he's ready for it, when he is worthy of it. So sometimes you make dua, Allah Ta'ala gives it to you when you are ready, when Allah knows you are worthy of it and capable of it. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala said, Musa alayhi salam made dua to Almighty Allah. What an amazing dua. رَبَّنَا اتْمِ سَلَامُ وَعَلِيمُ وَاسْتُرُوا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ فَلَا يُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى يَرَوُوا الْعَذَابَ الْعَلِيمُ. Oh Allah, destroy Fir'aun. Put a seed on his heart. He must not bring iman until he sees your punishment. So Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أُجِيبَ دَعْوَتُكُمَا. Oh Musa, I've accepted your dua. But that Fir'aun got destroyed after 40 years. So Musa alayhi salam made dua, the dua got accepted after 40 years. So sometimes it happens after a while. Sometimes it so happens that you make dua for something and you feel, for me that is the biggest thing I want. Allah feels that something is better for you than what you have asked for. Allah Ta'ala gives it to you because of the dua you make. You made dua for something, you wanting this, but Allah Ta'ala feels you, I want to give you something better. Your children came to you and said, you know, it's time for December time, everyone goes for holiday, let us go for holiday, let us go to Thailand, let us go to Dubai. And say, listen, I know it's holiday time, I'll take you for Umrah. They made the request, you gave them something better. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes you make dua, Allah ta'ala gives you something better. Sometimes you make a dua, and there is, because of the barakat of the dua, there is a calamity that is coming your way because of the barakah of the dua that you made. And you turn towards Almighty Allah, Allah ta'ala prevents that calamity from coming upon you. Fourth way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts your dua. And the fifth way Allah Ta'ala accepts your dua is, Allah doesn't accept it in this world. Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah will tell you, oh my banda, oh my bondsman, you made dua. I kept all of your duas. I kept it in stock for you. And then Allah will reward us for every dua that we made. And then human being on the day of Qiyamah will say, oh Allah, if only you didn't accept any of our duas in this dunya, and you only accepted our dua by giving us reward in the hereafter. So you'll remember five ways Allah Ta'ala accepts duas. So don't think Allah doesn't accept. Allah accepts not according to our will and forms and fancies. Allah got his own wisdom. So this is the night that we are supposed to ask Allah for all of these things. Go and make salat, go and make the tahajjud, go and make nafil namaz, read salatul hajat for every one of your needs. Read salatul hajat for safety, for your health, for your children's health, for just saving your children from calamities. Make two rakats of all of these things. Make two rakats for everything. Go in and go and ask Allah and make dua. And ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. May Allah Ta'ala give you a tawfiq of understanding. We will just make a short dua inshallah before the azan inshallah. Allahumma laka alhamdu kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultanik. Allahumma laka alhamdu kama anta ahlu. Fasalli wa sallim ala sayyidina Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kama anta ahlu. وفعل منا كما أنت عالو فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم مغفرتك أوسع من ذنوبنا ورحمتك أرجى عندنا من أعمالنا. اللهم توفنا مسلمين وألحقنا بالصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين. اللهم توفنا مسلمين وألحقنا بالصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين. اللهم احفظنا وأولادنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك ونعوذ بك من أولادنا وأهلنا من منكرات الأخلاق والأعمال والأهواء والأدواء والأحوال. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار. اللهم استر عوراتنا وآمن رواتنا. اللهم احفظنا وأولادنا من بين أيدينا ومن خلفنا وعن أيماننا وعن شمائلنا ومن فوقنا، ونعوذ بعزمتك أن نغتال من تحتنا. رضينا بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيه ورسوله. يا الله يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أول الأولين يا آخر الآخرين، يا راحم الضعفاء والمساكين. يا الله، you are the first of the first. يا الله، you are the last of the last. يا الله، يا الله، you are the one who shows mercy to those who are weak. يا الله، يا الله، you are the one who showers your mercy and forgiveness to those who seek your forgiveness, Ya Allah. On this Mubarak and blessed night, Ya Allah, on the night in which, Ya Allah, you announce that we must seek from you freedom from want and need, freedom from the fire of Jahannam, freedom from punishment, and freedom from the burden of our sins. Ya Allah, we ask of you for all of these things, Ya Allah. Grant us freedom from our sins by forgiving our sins. Our sins are many, Ya Allah. We cannot count our sins, Ya Allah. We are ashamed of the sins that we have committed. Your beloved Habib had said, whoever is ashamed, And whoever regrets the wrongs that he has done, you will turn towards him with mercy and forgiveness. Ya Allah, we take an oath, Ya Allah. All of us in this gathering, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all of us in this gathering, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we make tawbah, Ya Allah. And all of us in the gathering, say, Ya Allah, our tawbah, Ya Allah. Say loud after me, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, our tawbah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, tawbah for all the wrong that we have done, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are regretful. We are not proud with regard to the wrong that we have done, Ya Allah. Each and every one, whatever wrong that we have done, we are regretful, Ya Allah. So beloved Habib had said, whoever is regretful of the wrong of his done, then Ya Allah, you turn to him with mercy and forgiveness. Forgive us, not because we are worthy, but because you are worthy. You love forgiveness, Ya Allah. Innaka afuun kareemun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anna ya kareem. Ya Allah, the greatest gift you have given us is Iman. We have not been able to value it, Ya Allah. But Ya Allah, you have given it to us, Ya Allah. A generous person, when he gives someone something, doesn't take it away from him, Ya Allah. He will regard it as against his generosity if he gives it to someone and he takes it away, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask of you, Ya Allah. You have given us Iman, do not take it away from us. لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة. Ya Allah, let us each and every one of us die with Iman. Let the last words that we leave this world with be the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Let us die with Iman, resurrect us with Iman. And Ya Allah, let us be in the company of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the pond of Kawthar, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are living in a time where majority of the people don't believe in you. We're not talking about the Muslims, we're talking of general humanity, Ya Allah. A small group of people who have come here, Ya Allah. They have love for you. It is their love that has brought them to your masjid and to your house, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, they take your name, Ya Allah. They're asking you, Ya Allah. La tahrimni, la tahrimni wa ana as'aluk. Don't deprive us while we ask of you. Wala tu'adhibni. And do not punish us while we are seeking, Ya Allah, and we are making istighfar. Allahumma la tughzina fa innaka bina alimun. Wala tu'adhibna fa innaka alayna qadirun. Oh Allah, do not disgrace us, although you know each and every one of our faults. Ya Allah, la tughzina wa la tu'adhibna. And do not destroy and grant us and give us punishment, even if you have the capacity, because forgiveness is more closer to your nature and your attribute than punishing, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us the ability to do righteous deeds from now onwards, Ya Allah. Keep us away from wrong deeds, Ya Allah. Individually and collectively, whatever difficulty we have, Ya Allah, remove those difficulties. Anyone who is in need of getting married, grant them compatible spouses. Anyone involved in unlawful litigation, make an easy way away from that litigation. Ya Allah, anyone, Ya Allah, who is in need of getting children, grant them children, pious children. Ya Allah, those of us who have children, protect our children. Do not let us see the difficulty of our children. Protect them from all types of fitna, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, wherever the Muslims collectively are in difficulty, especially in Gaza and in Palestine, Ya Allah, make a way for them, Ya Allah, with regard to their freedom, with regard to their dignity, with regard to their peace, with regard to their security, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us security in our own country, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in our own country, let us play our role, Ya Allah, in showing people that Islam is the solution, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let us be good and kind to the people of this land who have been good to us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we have got risk from this land. Ya Allah, let us be good to the people of the land and to the land, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let us fulfill our responsibility. Ya Allah, grant us safety in our homes, Ya Allah. Turn the situation of South Africa around. It has become a situation of being a lawless country, granted law, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, it has been a situation where there isn't enough safety and security. Ya Allah, grant us safety and security in our homes and in our country, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us all good in this world and in the hereafter. And above all, Allah, we ask of you, never ever forsake us. Do not become angry with us. Ya Allah, grant us good in this world and grant us good in the hereafter. And never leave us for a moment without your protection, without your guide, and without your assistance. For wallahi, Ya Allah, we cannot do without your assistance and without your guide in every walk of our life. قال الله تعالى في شان حبيبه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.